This is Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily. My guest at this time is Brian Darling, Director of Senate Relations at the Heritage Foundation here in Washington. He's been a busy man in recent weeks as the Senate went through that marathon session to get its version of health care reform legislation passed by Christmas Eve, and it did on Christmas Eve morning. Now, of course, the House and Senate need to reconcile their versions, but we're hearing reports that there may not be the traditional House-Senate conference committee in order to avoid some potential Republican roadblocks. Democrats are planning to go along a more informal route, and Brian's here to explain what that is. Brian, thanks so much for being with us.
Thanks for having me on.
Well, the term we're hearing a lot right now is ping pong, and rather than establish a formal committee, House and Senate Democrats will ping pong their various bills back and forth until they can reach a consensus. How does that work, and how much different is that from a real conference?
Well, in a real conference, what happens is that the House and the Senate leaders, members of both parties, sit down from the House and Senate, and they try and come to an agreement on what bill will be submitted, and they have to be both identical to the House and Senate, and the House and Senate will vote on it. With a ping pong, it's different. The Senate has passed their version of Obamacare. That bill will come over to the House like a ping pong, over to the House. The House has an opportunity to do one of two things. They can either pass the bill as is, or they can amend it and send it right back over to the Senate. And it's called a ping pong because many times the bill will bounce between the House and the Senate many times. But very simply, until one of the chambers votes up or down and passes the bill won't go to the president.
And Brian, there's also, I know, a new push to add a little more transparency to this process. A lot of people, of course, most people didn't know what was in the Reid bill until it was actually introduced very close to Christmas. And by that point, many people weren't paying attention to the details. Now C-SPAN wants to have any sort of hearings, whether formal or informal, televised. Do you expect that to put any more pressure on Democrats to open up the process?
It will put more pressure, but I don't expect them to open up the process at all. Let's look at what's happened. The president promised during his campaign, when he was Senator Barack Obama, that he would have all of the negotiations on health care on C-SPAN. As president, he's promised that his administration is committed to an unprecedented level of openness in government. We're not seeing that. We're seeing closed-door meetings where elites in Washington, D.C. are sitting down behind closed doors, sometimes with lobbyists, to cut deals and to figure out what they can get passed in the Senate. And they're not looking at both parties. They're only looking at one party. And even many Democrats are excluded from these closed-door negotiations that are going on between Nancy Pelosi, Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid, and the White House.
Not that you're in charge of C-SPAN's policy, but are they coming to this effort a little bit late? A lot of people were wondering, you know, where the transparency was when it was just a couple of senators behind closed doors right after the House got done with its version. At this point, with the Democrats so close to the finish line, do they really feel a lot of pressure?
Well, they should feel some pressure because what's happening here is the American people are being kicked out of the process. It's very important to self-governance, and it's a strong principle in our Constitution that all Americans have the right to petition the government for redress of grievances, and Americans are not being allowed to see this process. They could see it on C-SPAN if it was broadcast, or even know the details of what's going on in the bill. So one of the real problems with what's going on right now is not so much kicking out the Republicans. We all expected that, but keeping the American people in the dark about what's going to happen with their health care. It's 1/6 of the U.S. economy, and what the Democrats plan to do and plan to pass in the House and the Senate that will make the most dramatic change in health care in our lifetimes.
Brian, I know you focus more on the Senate side than the House side, but let me ask you this. Will the House, which is a little bit more liberal, be okay with no public option and no buy-in to Medicare, and at the same time, would the Blue Dogs be okay with the less restrictive abortion language referring to taxpayers?
Well, if you look at what's going to happen in the House, they're going to make changes to the bill. They know that in the House they have to keep the bill closer to the Senate version because you need a supermajority, 60 votes, to get anything passed in the Senate. And we've noticed that many senators and House members who have made these bold pronouncements that they'll never back away from the public option or they'll never vote for this provision or that provision seem to be backing away because they want to get something passed this year. So I think you'll see many Democrats in the House back away from many of the promises of the past and maybe look towards taking another run at health care in the next year or two to try and get their public option, but they know they're not going to get it in this bill today.
And Brian, one more question on the negotiation front here, and that's you may have some in the House and Senate who saw the sweetheart deals, some might call them bribes, that Democrats offered to Mary Landrieu and eventually Senator Ben Nelson, and they're thinking, hey, if I'm going to risk my political career for this, I might as well get something out of it. Will we see a lot more horse trading, or is that phase pretty much over?
I think you'll have to see horse trading for House members. Many House members might have to get something to vote for the bill, because you have to understand that many blue dogs, many moderate Democrats in the Senate, they're worried that they're committing political suicide by voting for this bill. The bill's so wildly unpopular, if they're in a state that leans to the right and they're Democrats, they have to be worried about their political future. So you are going to see a lot of special interest provisions, some more earmarks in this bill, so that they can, some of these Democrats in the House will have more of an incentive to vote for the bill.
But at the end of the day, it sounds like you believe eventually enough compromises will be made that this thing is going to be passed, or is there a way that you see that opponents could still end up turning over the apple cart here?
The only way it doesn't pass is if there's a breakdown over the abortion issue, the tax issues, or the public option. If they can get over those hurdles, this bill will be on the president's desk before February 1st.
Last question, more of a political question than a policy question. Most Democrats, at least those in the rank and file, seem to say that not getting health care done would be more politically detrimental to them. Sounds like you're saying passing this thing is going to be more politically detrimental to them.
This has to be one of the most unpopular bills that's come through Congress over the last few years. The American people don't like it. The longer it's on the Senate floor, the American people are getting upset with it. And somehow, many on the left are making the argument, once you get this bill in place, once the American people can see what they're going to get for this bill, they're going to be happy with it. I don't think that's going to prove out to be the point, because most of the provisions that give any Americans anything, they don't even kick in to 2014. So you're not going to see anything good come out of this bill for another 4 or 5 years.
Brian, we'll have to leave it there. Thanks so much for your time today.
Thank you.
Brian Darling is Director of Senate Relations at the Heritage Foundation here in Washington. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily.